Hermias Habitarium. I met him years ago after a worship service. He came up to me and asked me if he could meet with me. So I went into the parlor with him, and he sat down, and he was upset. And so I asked him, I said, well, tell me something about yourself. And he, of course, gave me his name, which is one of those names that tends to stick in your mind, Hermias Habitarium. And I said, where are you from? And he said, Eteria. Okay, how many people in here have heard of the nation Eteria? David's heard of it. Drat. I was like, Eteria. And then I was thinking, is this like a fantasy place or something? But no, it's a country in Africa, a small country on the Horn of Africa. So I, ignorant me. So I said, well, how did you end up here? And he said, well, that he was a teacher there in Eteria, and that he became persecuted because of his political beliefs. And so he sought asylum in the United States, came here with his wife, and then realized that he could not teach here because of certification requirements, even though he had been a successful teacher in his country, and learned quickly how to become a pipe fitter, and so now was traveling all around the nation working that job because it was a traveling job, going to different places and being a pipe fitter, which was good and gave him an income. But then his wife became very distressed over the fact that they did not have a home and a place, and they were going from here to there, and distressed that he could not teach and settle someplace. She had relatives in Washington State, so one day she told him, I am divorcing you, and I am going to Washington State to live with my relatives. I'm tired of this going from place to place thing, and so she left him. So he was here now, away from his family in Interior, away from his wife and her family in Washington State. He was lonely and distressed. Distressed because he could not teach. Happy that he had found a way to make a living and to provide for himself, but very, very lonely. And so I sat there and I talked to him, and I after he got ready to leave, I gave him my cell phone number, and I said, you know, no matter where you are, you can always call me. Call me sometime, even if you have to call collect or whatever it is, you know, just call me and I'll be glad to talk with you and I'll be glad to help you through, because I know that your lifestyle can be very lonely. Well, one day later that year on Christmas Eve, I got a phone call, and it was Hermias. And I was so happy to hear from him. I hadn't heard from him in months. But he was calling me because it was Christmas Eve. He was distressed. He was lonely. He had no one that he could count on as friend. And he really did not know what to do. And he said, I wanted to go to a church tonight. I wanted to go to a place to celebrate Christmas Eve. And he said, I can't even find one. I said, where are you? And he said, Coffeyville, Kansas. Never heard of Coffeyville, Kansas. And so then while I was talking to him, I put it up on computer, and churches in Coffeyville, Kansas, found a United Methodist Church in Coffeyville, went to the website, found that they were having a Christmas Eve service, found the time for it, the address. And while I was talking to him, I said, actually, I've just found a Christmas Eve service at a United Methodist Church in Coffeyville. I gave him the address, and he said, I can walk to where that is. He said, I had no idea I could actually walk there. He was so excited. And I told you, I said, Christians are near you, no matter where you are, and always remember that I am your brother in Christ, and I will be glad to do whatever I can for you so that you can find out that the church is always near you, that the Word is near you. I love this passage and how it starts. He uses that phrase, the Word is near you. I think that the season of Lent is a season of reflection, of understanding, of pausing from everything that keeps us so busy and focusing on our spirituality, on our spiritual journey, and on ourselves and where we are. And so this phrase, the word is near you, is one that I want us to reflect upon today, maybe even as a part of our worship, to meditate on that word as well, the word. I like how it starts with that, the word is near you. And Paul, in writing this letter, does a very interesting thing because he's talking about the word is near you, and then he uses Old Testament passages as a part of showing how the word is surrounding even this part of his letter to the Christians there in Rome. Even this part of the letter he surrounds by the scripture. That first phrase that I read, the word is near you, on your lips and in your heart, was taken from Deuteronomy. And so he pulls that and says, see how this word now is applied to who we are this day. And then when he says no one in verse 11, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, he's quoting from Isaiah, and he pulls that from Isaiah and surrounds the text around that as well. And then when he says in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, he's quoting Joel, the prophet, from the Old Testament. And so he surrounds all of his word that he's given him, this letter that he wrote to the church, he's surrounding it with the word of God, the word of the Old Testament, the word of the Old Testament prophets, letting the people know those things that you're familiar with from the Old Testament, that word also surrounds you at this time. Just as today, we know that the word is surrounding us, that the word is a part of who we are and how we live, and the word of the apostles in the Gospels, the good news, and how their accounts of what happened surround us and build our faith and affirm our beliefs in Jesus Christ and in every way in which we live out our lives as Christians. And also the fact that in John's Gospel, we're told very plainly that Jesus is the living Word, that living Word that is always there with us, that living Word that makes a difference, that living Word that makes an impact in our lives. And so today in worship, I would ask that we would reflect on what the Word means to us, what the Word says to us, how the Word speaks to us. I believe any time that you open God's Word and that you read it, you're encountering God. The power of the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit knows you, and the Holy Spirit cherishes you, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you because the Word is near you. In seminary, I had one of my professors, I mentioned him before, Dr. Joe Geddes. He was an older man in his 90s when he was teaching there in seminary. Marvelous, great, strong leader in the church in so many different ways. And he told us one time that in one of his classes, in seminary, he had students who started questioning the Bible, and I guess they were trying to be radical in class or something and show, you know, what they could do, and so they were questioning this and questioning that and everything else. And he said after the class, some of the other students came up to him and said, Dr. Joe, we don't understand. These students were questioning some of the basic points of the Bible, and we don't think that you did a very good job of defending the Bible to them, defending the Word of God. And he said, I looked at them and said, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is the living Word of God. The Word of God is filled with the Spirit of God. Why would I think that I am strong or capable enough to defend the Word of God? The Word of God defends itself. The Word of God defends itself in the world. Now, I do think sometimes it's important to defend the Word of God, to defend the points of our faith. But at the same time, I understand what he's saying. The Word of God is perfectly capable of defending itself. The Word of God speaks to our hearts, speaks to our minds, speaks to exactly who we are and where we are and how we are living out our lives in the midst of all things. It continues on and says, the Word of God is near. The Word of God is. The Word of God is. You know, we just think, well, that's just a little verb, sort of to be, sort of a passive verb. But really, is it passive? The Word of God is. God said, I am. We view God as the great I am. We understand how God is always present, past, future, and the present. And we hear this saying that the Word is. The Word is. The Word exists. The Word speaks to us by its presence and by our presence with it. I know that I've told you about how much I love to kayak on Lake Tugaloo and how beautiful it is. And one time when I was out there last summer, my twin brother likes to bass fish there in that lake because it has great bass. And I'm not so much into that. I want to just see the lake, see the shore. So I just take off my kayak and do my own thing, and he's fishing from his. And I was going along the shore and everything. It's very rocky at places and very mountainous. And all of a sudden, I went in this cove, and then I realized that the cove went on back. And then all of a sudden, there were these massive boulders, not like rounded and smooth, but sort of, you know, jagged boulders. And they were sort of stacked up. They weren't stacked up so that you couldn't see light through it and see the tops of the hills on above it and everything, but just stacked up there. And the water went all the way in where these boulders were. And there were ferns growing in the boulders, and they sort of made this opening there. And so I floated my kayak in there, and then there was water trickling down from the top, and it was almost like little waterfalls going down from there. And then also rhododendrons were blooming right then, and the rhododendrons were on one side of it. And I was looked down in the water, and I could see through the clear water the boulders that I was floating over there in that place. And all of a sudden it struck me, I'm in a cathedral. I'm here in this cathedral. And I just stopped. And I thought, I don't ever want to leave from this spot right here. I don't ever want to leave from right where I am, because it was so holy. It just was. There was no person there saying, pay attention to this. Look at this. See how amazing it is. See how wonderful it is. See how close you are to God here. It just was. That cathedral just existed. And I was drawn into it. And I was changed by it. Just its presence and me being there changed me, because anytime that I feel like life is hectic and life is busy and I don't know where to go and what to do, I can go back to my Boulder Cathedral, and I'm there floating in that water, looking all around me in the presence of something that just is, and feel the presence of God and know that God is there. Perhaps as we worship, especially during Lent, we should clear our minds of whatever thoughts we're having right at this moment, whatever thoughts those might be of what we have to do or what is coming next or when is he going to finish the sermon, and clear your mind of all that and just realize we are. The Word is. God is with us. We are in the presence of God. God is near. The other word that we can reflect upon this morning, the nearness. The Word is near you. What a powerful statement. What an amazing statement. The Word is near you. And that statement doesn't have any qualifiers to it whatsoever. It doesn't say, if you're near to the Word, or if you're right with God, or if you think about it. It just says, the Word is near you. I had someone, we were talking about what it takes to be a friend. And we were giving various different definitions of a friend and what we expect from a friend and that, things like that. And who is a friend? You know, someone who's caring and non-judgmental and accepting and all this sort of stuff. And one lady in the group said, you know what, my most important qualifier for someone to be a friend of mine? And I said, no, I don't have any idea. And she said, availability, someone who is there. She said, I really find that I can't have a friend if the friend isn't there when I need that friend. That was the most important definition of friend to her, someone who is there. The word is near you. That is perhaps one of the most important statements of God's living word given to us. God's powerful word is that it's near to us. I remember playing the game of hot and cold. Have you ever done that? Especially with children. We used to do it with their Easter eggs. We would hide them all over the house and they would have to find them. And we would say, no, you're cold, 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 cold. And no, oh, we're getting warmer. Oh, now you're hot, you're right at it. And they would finally find it. We would guide them, direct them that way. Sort of like the game Marco Polo that you play in the swimming pool where, you know, someone closes their eyes and everybody else around them and they can't open their eyes and someone says Marco and someone over the other side says Polo and then the person is trying to get to them. But, of course, what we always did was move while they were trying to get to us. And so you were going Marco Polo and they were trying to find you, but the target was always moving. So it was made even more difficult. That's what truth is a lot of times in our life. Sometimes we have people saying, you're warm, you're getting warmer, you're getting closer. Sometimes we have people saying, Marco Polo, and you're trying to find it, and the target is always moving. That is not the case with God's Word. God's Word is always near you, always near us. As we pause to reflect and pause to consider what the season of Lent means, let us remember, the Word is near us. In baptism, after the placing of the water, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then we're called upon to give a blessing. And part the blessing starts, may the Holy Spirit work within you. As a part of that continuation of the baptism, the idea, infant, child, adult, whatever, the blessing that baptism gives to you is incorporating you into the family of God, but also the blessing is, may the Holy Spirit work within you. The Word is near you. May the Holy Spirit work within you so that during this time we all grow closer to God, closer to where God would have us to be. Let us pray.